passport, check. Euros, check. Train ticket, check.
Oh no, I forgot the Flight Free podcast.
Check in with the Flight Free podcast. Imagine where we can take you. Don't forget to carry us in your pocket for destination inspiration.
Hello and welcome to the Flight Free podcast. I'm Lou and I'll be checking you in today as we discuss greenwash in the aviation industry. Later, we'll be speaking to Solitaire Townsend from Futura, who has done a lot of work on how ad companies and PR firms are contributing to the climate crisis. We've also got Anne from Stay Grounded, who will help us explore the ways in which airlines might be greenwashing their operations. But first, let's answer a pretty fundamental question. What is greenwashing? Greenwashing refers to when companies mislead consumers by making them believe a product, service, or organization is environmentally friendly or sustainable, when in reality it is not. Companies can do this by deflecting attention away from the environmental harm they cause, or they may cast themselves as allies in the fight for climate justice when in reality they are not. They may even be directly driving the climate crisis, like an oil company or an airline.
Flight Free Fact.
The Dutch airline KLM is the first in the aviation industry to be taken to court for its misleading advertising. In April 2022, the Dutch Advertising Committee ruled that KLM was misleading its customers by giving them the impression that they can neutralise their flights through its offsetting schemes. So, why do airlines greenwash? We're going to welcome our first guest to help us answer this question. Hi, Solitaire. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
So you have worked as a sustainability expert and authored books such as The Happy Hero, and you've co-founded the change agency Futura. Could you tell us a little bit more about your work with them for those who might not be familiar?
So Futura is a change agency that works with corporates and also some of the big nonprofits and NGOs like WWF, and also sometimes governments. And we do two things. One is we help people set goals and targets and processes and change how they do things, particularly around climate change. And on the other side, we're a comms agency. So we call it the logic, setting those targets and the architecture of change. And we call it the magic, which is the storytelling and the marketing. So we've worked on everything from trying to ensure the rights to birth control in the US through to regenerative agriculture in South America and all the gauntlet of the sustainable development goals in Europe and North America. These were words that 20 years ago a lot of businesses and governments hadn't heard of. And now it's absolutely central. And it's central for a couple of reasons. One is that the world is changing and climate change has gone from being a distant threat to being a current reality. And also because the Gen Zs, who happen to be the biggest group of people on the planet, make that conversation unavoidable.
Oh, it sounds like really interesting, important work that you're doing. Have you noticed recently then a growing trend for eco-conscious travel?
So yes, of course the pandemic made us notice huge things about our lives, particularly about the amount that we travel. And so what we've seen since is both a bounce back as people desperate to get out and to go on holiday and to see the world, and business people to meet up with each other, but also at the same time a consciousness around the benefits of not doing so, not just climate benefits, but sanity benefits. A lot of business travel particularly is horrible for the people doing it, away from family, different time zones. There's a really big human cost to it as well as climate cost.
Has this consciousness changed your relationship with travel?
So my personal carbon footprint versus my business carbon footprint is something which I've really thought about a lot over the years. And then over the pandemic, realizing how insane and unhealthy some of my travel was, has sort of brought everything to a head from a climate change perspective and from a sanity perspective. Let's say my carbon footprint is going to be continuously reducing from now on because of that.
Okay, let's move on to the crux of this section of the episode, which is why airlines greenwash. We know that back in 2019, there was a big rise in public awareness of the climate impact of flying, and that the airline said that the biggest threat to them at that point was a rise in climate awareness among passengers. Of course, that was before COVID came along, but thinking back to that time, do you think the shift in public attitudes is why airlines have started to greenwash their campaigns?
Of course. So like any industry that's under threat in terms of its license to operate, it has to go absolutely on the front foot and aggressively try to change that perspective. The oil companies have been doing that for years and years and years. One of the things which I think the air industry, though, has got to get its head around is, does it sell travel or does it sell petrol? Because if the future of the air industry is completely dependent upon the fossil fuel industry, then yes, the climate awareness of their consumers is a threat to them. If they are able to innovate, then the rising climate awareness wouldn't be a risk to them. So I think there's a sort of logic in them saying that, which is that they still consider themselves to be utterly dependent upon the use of fossil fuels.
So do you think that the marketing strategy of greenwashing is going to work for the airlines?
Unfortunately, yes. People greenwash because it works. The advertising industry is some of the first to use emerging psychology, sociology, neuroscience. You know, the advertising industry is very, very good at what it does. But quite a lot of greenwash isn't advertising. It's lobbytizing. It's using the power of advertising to lobby and try to convince people and regulators that the industry deserves to exist. This is the most pernicious type of advertising, and it's something which, again, the oil and gas companies have been doing for years. How do you confront some of that? How do you sort of deprogram people from advertising around this? One of the big advantages that the air industry has is that people like to travel and they want to go on holiday and they want to see their friends, they want to see their loved ones. One of the big challenges we have is it feels like we're anti-love, anti-travel, anti-experience when we tell people not to fly. I am a big fan of showing people the alternative, showing people how do you see your friends and family, how do you get amazing experiences, how do you get a holiday, how do you get time away from your life in a way that doesn't use air. And I would like to see as much effort going into selling those alternatives as we do to sort of telling people they need to sacrifice what they want.
Definitely. That's linked to our movement with Flight Free UK. We try and inspire people to look at alternative ways of traveling. So many people are trying to do their bit to save the planet, but greenwash is exploiting and taking advantage of people's good nature. The Dutch airline, KLM, are currently being sued for adverts containing a misleading sustainability initiative. In your brilliant TED Talk, you discussed that we need a way to account for the emissions of influence. So could you tell us a bit more about this and how we could begin to hold airline ad companies accountable for greenwashing?
I think we are right on the edge of beginning to be able to do this. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. So you've got the UN and the COP process. We've got the Paris Agreement, which is trying to keep us below 2 degrees of global warming, 1.5. And there's a whole set of agreements and rules around that. The Paris Agreement is an agreement of nations, of governments all around the world. But there is a mechanism by which businesses can sort of officially participate in the Paris Agreement, and it's called the Race to Zero. And if you join the Race to Zero, you've got to reduce your absolute emissions, so your actual emissions, by 90 to 95% by 2050. And ideally reduce them by 50% by 2030. And the new criteria of the Race to Zero, there is a recommendation that companies assess their advertised emissions, which is they assess how much have they increased consumption of their goods and products by advertising them, and how much carbon does that carry? Now, once people begin to know more about this, once the Waste to Zero communicate it more, once companies begin to do it more, we've got a real opportunity to talk about greenwash, and particularly to talk about greenwash in the flight industry. Because if airlines and if those who use airlines aren't accounting for those emissions of influence, aren't accounting for how much advertising is raising consumption, then it means they're not doing Waste to Zero properly. If you're not doing Waste to Zero properly, it means you can't be part of the Paris Agreement, which every company wants to be able to say that they are. There is a huge number of campaigns all around Europe. There are campaigns to ban high carbon advertising. That sounds like a really difficult thing to get done. I think it's going to be easier than we think, because say you're a politician who really wants to show that you are really strong on climate change and you're doing something on climate change. There's lots of things as a politician you could propose or try to bring in as regulation. A carbon tax, for example, a ban on certain products being sold. There's lots of things you could do which would be really, really difficult. Actually, banning an industry from advertising is really easy. It's one single piece of regulation. And also, we already know how to do it because we've done it with tobacco. All of the platforms like Facebook and Google and Instagram, they know how to ban certain adverts, etc. So I think, although it sounds like a really big, complicated thing, from an actual regulatory perspective, it's quite simple to do. So I think target some of the politicians who really want to burnish their climate credentials to bring an early day motion in the UK to ban high fossil user advertising. And I think you might find that's maybe easier than you think it will be. A lot of the ways that you and I can make a difference in the world is around how we shop and how we buy. And I get really angry when people say that our consumption behaviours don't matter, because for start, I think that's really dismissive of people and what individuals can say. Telling people that they don't matter and what they do doesn't matter. It's also wrong, because when you see things such as plant-based diets were driven by consumer desire and by consumer change, and the companies scrabbled to keep up with that and trying to come out with products that help do it. That was not led by corporates. It wasn't led by governments. We can change, particularly if we do things and talk about doing it a lot.
That's so true. People power does work. And it's about sharing what you're doing as well. And you might think being that one person is not important, but you're joining a whole community. And that's what is important, like you said, with the plant-based industry. Yeah, that is such a lovely, inspiring message for people to take away from today's discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners?
What I'd say around greenwash is people really like when they find out about greenwash. We like it. We like to find out about greenwash ads. We like to have it pointed out to us. So as well as trying to avoid greenwash yourself, screenshot it when you see it and share it with people, because the more greenwash we see with the greenwash sign on it, the more it trains us to identify it elsewhere. So, you know, and people love seeing it. It's funny and it's outraging. It gets us really annoyed. So find it, point it out and share it. By doing so, you are going to help others maybe be a bit more immune to it themselves.
Thank you, Sally, for coming on our podcast today. We've really enjoyed having you here. You've brought some amazing insight into this subject. So thank you very much. Now we've got some real life examples of aviation greenwash, and Anne from Stay Grounded will help us pick apart some of the industry's claims. Hello, Anne. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thanks a lot for the invitation. Happy to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. We're happy to have you. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm based in Cologne and I'm joining you from here, where it's very dry and hot.
First off, can you give us a quick outline of Stay Grounded and what it is all about?
Yes, sure. So Stay Grounded is a global network. We work to rapidly reduce aviation and fight for climate just mobility for all. We are a grassroots network and have many different kind of members, from NGO and activist groups to indigenous groups fighting airport expansions or the effects of biofuels or offsetting projects. We're generally action-oriented, and we focus a lot on global solidarity and addressing root causes of the problem of flying and the climate crisis. And we're showing how aviation is connected to global injustice and that we need a systemic change and change the imperial way of living. So a strong part of our founding idea is countering false solutions and green lies and pushing for degrowth of aviation and a just transition.
That sounds like brilliant and really important work. So let's have a look at some examples and see what we make of them. So recently, Ryanair has been accused of greenwashing after the UK advertising watchdog banned an ad campaign claiming that the airline is Europe's lowest emissions airline, but actually the company was ranked among the EU's top 10 carbon emitters in 2019. So how can they claim to be green while also being one of the most polluting companies in Europe?
Yeah, well, I think that's a very good example for a very obvious greenwash. I mean, Ryanair is not alone with that. We see that everywhere in the advertisement, that companies are claiming things, but they're actually not really proving. And I think in the case of Ryanair, the statistics that they used failed to include many rival airlines and were based on data from 2011. So it was very outdated, the claims they based this Europe's lowest emission thing on. So yeah, I mean, the one thing we often see is that those claims, they don't give sources, or they're just misleading consumers in a way. They're just claiming something and think they can get through and with that. But actually, there are things like the Advertising Standards Authority said that this is wrong and this is misleading and they have to take it down.
So equally as awful, EasyJet ran a campaign with the bold headline, Destination Zero Emissions. The term zero emissions is not defined on the advert itself, but it directs you to a webpage where you can buy air tickets and read about the company's technological hopes for the mid-30s. And so can you talk about why any technology claims are greenwash?
Yeah, sure. But maybe before I get to that, I just very quickly want to say one word about this net zero claim, because I really think this is problematic in general, the net zero claim. Most of those claims are pointing us to some distant future, mostly at 2050, actually, when we talk about the aviation industry, and they all come too late. And actually, we need real zero, not net zero, because in generally, this net thing is a kind of problematic idea that we might get to when we talk about offsetting later. But yeah, I just want to say that whenever you see net zero somewhere, be very cautious about what that means and what this claim is about, because mostly it's about the distant future. And then when you get to there, even if you are zero, then until that point, the industry will have emitted already so much CO2 and other emissions that we already blowed our budget. But now getting back to your question about technology claims and why they're greenwash. So in general, I wouldn't say that any technology is problematic or greenwash in itself. The problem is that the idea of technological development must not distract us from the need to reduce emissions now. So airline and industry use technology claims to justify their growth plans, but they don't talk about the fact that all this technology will just come in a distant future. And as we can see in a current report by the UK charity Possible, who reviews the climate targets, which the international aviation industry set itself since the year 2000, they found that all but one of their targets has either been missed, abandoned, or just forgotten about. So we actually know that the industry has never kept its promises. They set a target for reducing emissions through technology, through fuel substitutes, through offsetting, through agri-fuels or other. Then they continue their growth and their emissions. They fail that target, and then they set a new target. They fail it again, and they set a new target. And this has been going on since really too long. So whenever we see those technology claims, we should be very careful because they point to a distant future and distract from the fact that we need action and reduction now.
We've got another example from EasyJet. Set off having offset. This was a claim that for every flight they operate, they'll offset the carbon from the fuel used by investing in projects that include planting of trees or protecting against deforestation and renewable energies. Can you explain why offsetting is also greenwash?
Yes, I think offsets are actually one of the most problematic greenwashing strategies, and they have many different problematic aspects. For one, they include a false logic. So the ecological impact to ecosystems cannot that easily be compensated by doing some other project elsewhere. Our natural systems are very complex, and we cannot just put them into mathematical logic saying emissions generated through flying here equals emissions saved through tree planting there. What if, for example, the tree or forest that was planted to compensate burns down in a fire next year? What if the emissions from flying in high altitude have a very different effect than the emissions absorbed by a tree somewhere? Second, there are many negative social and environmental impacts through offsetting projects. We see offsetting projects where, for example, indigenous people are banned from using their forest or their land because it should be protected for an offsetting project. But then we are actually taking land from indigenous people to offset our emissions. I mean, that's a really weird logic, I would say. And we see a lot of land grabbing and human rights violations that are associated with offsetting projects. Third, I would say that we're living over our limits with flying. And if we're flying from UK, for example, with EasyJet and offsetting, most of those offsetting projects are in the global south. Why? Because in UK or maybe Europe in general, we don't have the land to do those projects. We're flying more than we could compensate, even if that worked in our country or in our area. So we do it elsewhere because it's cheaper there in the global south. But what if the people there also wanted to fly and to compensate? Where would they do it? Here in Europe, where there's no space in a way anymore? So there's no land to compensate. I think that shows the injustice that some wealthy people fly and think they can compensate, but this could never be scaled up. It's a kind of neocolonial logic behind those offsets. And last but not least, many projects actually fail to reduce emissions. There are studies showing that out of a lot of offset projects, only a very small percentage actually reduced emissions. So in general, offsetting is really a problem and it is never a solution or a compensation for a flight.
Oh, great. Thanks for giving those insights, Anne. If you want to find out more about our guests today, you can go to wearefuterra.com or find Solly's TED Talk, just search for Solitaire Townsend. You can find Anne's group, Stay Grounded, at stay-grounded.org. Or there's also some really useful further reading from groups like Greenwash.Earth and Badvertising, which is a campaign to ban the advertising of fossil fuel products like Solly was talking about. You can find them at badverts.org. To round off this chat about greenwash, we've come up with four ways to spot greenwash. The first one to look out for is when a company focuses on one small thing and doesn't give the bigger picture. For example, when an airport says they are reducing their emissions from their ground operations but doesn't mention the much larger emissions of the flights themselves. Or when an airline says they don't use single-use plastic on board as a way to appear eco-friendly but again doesn't mention the environmental harm of the actual flights. The second one is when they say they've solved a problem but doesn't say how. So that's similar to what Anne was saying about Ryanair claiming to be Europe's greenest airline, but not giving any information about how they can make that claim. Thirdly, anything that mentions offsetting. That's a dead giveaway that an airline or a company is greenwashing, because as we know, offsets don't actually reduce your emissions. And finally, When companies talk about technology solutions as though they are here already, we might have access to zero carbon flight in the future, but that's still a way off, and we need to be reducing emissions now. Three things you can do right now as a consumer to try and push back against greenwash are, firstly, be a conscious consumer, question everything. Secondly, avoid flying if at all possible. And thirdly, report dodgy adverts to the Advertising Standards Authority, ASA. So, that's nearly it. But before we go, we've just got time to pick a destination of the month.
Destination of the month.
This month, we've picked the Centre for Alternative Technology, or CAT, CAT in Wales, because not only is it in a beautiful location, it's a place which is genuinely trying to make things better in a world full of greenwash. We love it because it's in a gorgeous part of Wales, deep in the Dyfi Valley, right on the edge of Snowdonia National Park. It's just outside Macuntleth, which is famous for being hard to pronounce and should be easy for me to pronounce as a Scouser. You can get there by train on the Birmingham to Aberystwyth line, and if you're into cycling, the National Cycle Network goes from the station right up to the centre. The centre itself is very family friendly, and there are really cool aspects to it, like serving food in the cafe made from the produce they grow on site. It's definitely worth a day visit, or if you want to make more of a holiday of it, there's genuine eco accommodation there. And that's it. Thanks for listening. If you're inspired to make 2022 your year of being flight free, you can sign up at our website, flightfree.co.uk. And don't forget to share the pledge with your friends and family to help us spread the word. Next month, we'll be looking at flying within the context of education. See you then. We hope you enjoyed your journey with the Flight Free podcast. Download the full series on the podcast page of our website and join us again next month for more inspirational stories and grounded adventures. You can find out more information and inspiration at flightfree.co.uk. Until next time, stay safe and stay grounded.